Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, hello. Average time. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and we're here each week at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So at this time, I'd like to ask you to settle in your easy chair and take a virtual trip with me to the island of Jamaica, and I'd ask you to just picture wherever you were when you were growing up or when you visited, or if you're still there, where do you just go to chill in the evenings when the trade winds blow softly across your face? So just pretend you're there. We're accustomed to taking virtual trips, because now we have the technology that supports that. So just flow with me here and forget about the cares of the day, of the week, or whatever, because, you know, as we say in Jamaica, no problem on. Whatever, we just let it go at the end of the day. So I'd like to welcome the callers on the board, and those who may be listening online, or those who may come by later to listen online. We're here each week, and the whole objective of this particular broadcast is to leave a living legacy from the people who lived the period that I grew up in Jamaica. Because, as I mention each week, there's a lot of buzz now about the now Jamaica, because the younger people are really using the technology very well. You know, they're on YouTube, Facebook, whatever. So everything that's going on in Jamaica, like the rest of the world, is known by anyone with an interest, no matter where you are in another part of the world. But in my period, information was not that easy to record. So I'm hoping to record as much as I can of the period where we didn't have this cool stuff like we have now from the people who lived during those times. So I have a series going for a couple of weeks now that I build as education, the way it was in the 40s and 50s. But tonight we have a more modern student, I would say. She graduated just before independence, so she's in that time frame, but not quite as senior as some of our guests have been. So if our guest of the evening, Miss Monica Kelly, is online, I'm going to ask her to hit one on her telephone so I can welcome her to the backyard. I see we have quite a few callers, and until I wait for the raised hand, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Miss Monica Kelly, who bills herself as a farmer's daughter. And for the people who might not know the structure of Jamaica, I mean, you know, most foreigners believe every Jamaican know every other Jamaican, and not everybody, but you know what I mean. They'll ask you, I know so-and-so who is a Jamaican. Do you know them? Well, I'm here to say that when I was growing up, I mostly only knew the people in my neighborhood, because we sort of did everything together. If you grew up in East Kingston or West Kingston or wherever, you met at school, but you would hang out mostly with the people in your neighborhood, because in those days, most of us didn't have cars. We used public transportation, which in my day was the tram car before we moved up to the cars. But anyway, Miss Monica Kelly was from a part of Jamaica that I have never been, but I've heard about it. And she was born in, well, as a matter of fact, I'm going to let her tell you about her early days. I hope she's there and we'll hit one on her telephone so I can welcome her in. But I'm not seeing a raised hand, so I'm going to read you a little bit about what she sent me. She said, my parents were small farmers who lived in Windsor Castle, St. Mary, at the time of my birth. Early recollection of my mother placed her in a leading role as social welfare officer covering Caron Hall, Highgate, Guy's Hill, Richmond, and many villages in St. Mary. My father, as I recall, began his career as a project manager for the Jamaica Agricultural Society and was later promoted to agricultural instructor in that organization. Thus, I was born in and schooled in leadership development because of how my parents lived their lives. I thought that was so beautiful. I have been told that I was privy to town hall meetings even as an infant, as my parents took me on their many night meetings. You might say I am fortunate to be born of such enterprising parents. Now she talks about her school. She was schooled to become a facilitator. And I'd like to just share with you what Monica says about herself. She's a leader, facilitator, and encourager. And to me, I am so happy when I see, well, she's not as senior as myself and a couple of my other guests, but when older people are really considering themselves an encourager and a facilitator, because there are a lot of seniors who have sort of given up on the younger generation, and sometimes it can be very challenging. But I'm very impressed with Monica's, you know, what she is billing herself, and I'm sure living her passion and doing. So, Monica, if you're there, please hit, oh, yes, I see a raised hand. So without any further ado, I'm going to open the mic and welcome my guests. Miss Kelly, is that you? Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret.
Yes, Miss Margaret, this is Monica Kelly speaking. I'm happy to be on with
you. Oh, welcome to the Labridge.
Thank you.
Well, it's so good to have you here, and I was at sharing with some of my listeners how you wrote about yourself and your parents, and I really found that quite touching.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go on with some more of it so the visitors
sure.
can get a feel for you.
Yes, that's fine.
I later, well, we're up to the part. As an infant, I attended school in Guy's Hill, where my grandfather, Kelly, and his wife, Mary Carnegie Kelly, lived. I enjoyed those early days spent in the company of my two younger aunts and uncle in Guy's Hill. I later moved back to live with my mother and father in Windsor Castle. At the age of 5, I started attending the Caron Hall Infant School and later graduated from there to attend Caron Hall Elementary School. At age 8, education took a new turn as I was boarded with my mother's relatives in Kingston and had the benefit of attending St. George's Elementary School. At age 11, I transitioned to St. Andrew High School, from which I graduated in 1960, holding the Senior Cambridge Certificate. Now, I'll hand it over to you, Monica. You can tell us a little bit more about your career in Jamaica before you migrated.
Yes, Margaret, I'm so touched that you should ask me to be on. It is really a pleasure to be here. And just wanted you to know that there are many, many memories of my childhood in Caron Hall. such as when I was in elementary school there, we would have recesses, and instead of just playing, you know, ordinary games, we would go down to there were fields with grass that was growing high, and we would plant the fields, those grass in the fields, as if they were dolly's ears. And we entertained ourselves just being in nature and using them as our toys.
Oh, so you mean you would, as if you're braiding hair, you would braid the grass.
The grass, yes, that's what we did.
Wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
And yes, we
also... Was that a co-ed school, boys and girls were there?
Oh, yes, boys and girls were there. And so we played mostly together, boys and girls, and it was fine. We enjoyed each other.
So were the boys in the braiding of the hair, too?
Some of them were.
I mean, grass.
No, some of them were not, though. Most of them were not, but some were. If they wanted to be near the girls, they were there.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, I must tell you, yeah? Because you might be new to the show, but most of my fans know that, you know, this is a very casual, it's a labrish. So mm-hmm. I always tell people it's not CNN or, you know, Fox. We're just here to labrish. So I will come in with a sidebar or try to put a twist to something at any time. So don't be surprised.
No.
Okay.
That's good, yes. And so, like, I remember those days in Karen Hall, and I remember really being attentive, and they thought of me as being a very bright student. And then when I went on to Kingston and started with St. George's, then Miss Mack was the headmistress. And, of course, the St. George's girls were supposed to be the creme de la creme because Miss Mack would have it no other way, you know.
Was Miss Mack a religious person? What I mean that, was that a religious school?
Yes, all my schools were. They were all, one was Presbyterian, Karen Hall was Presbyterian, and then I went to St. George's Girls' School, which was Episcopalian,
mm-hmm.
and I moved on to St. Andrew, which was also Methodist.
Right.
So, yes, I had the benefit of going to a girls' school at that point at St. George's, and we were told not to play with the boys next door over in St. Joseph's.
So it was St. George's and St. Joseph's, and they were beside each other?
They were beside each other. St. Joseph was Catholic.
Ah.
But we were encouraged not to be seen talking to the boys on the street. And we were always properly dressed in our uniforms, and at that time we wore uniforms.
And what was the uniform those days? What colors
was
and what?
Blue skirts and midi skirt, you know, and white blouse. And then we had the plaid. It was a plaid, red plaid with stripes in it. And we had to learn to tie those ties and put them on most neatly. And we had, on special occasions, I remember one time, either the princess or the queen came and we had to put on our jippy-jappa hat.
Oh, okay. So that was special.
Yes, that was a special occasion. So you put on a jippy-jappa hat.
Interestingly, we had a guest on who talked about, I think it was Manning's, and in her day, they had a room just for the hats. For the girls to hang up their hats.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting, yeah. But yes, you couldn't have your seams out of place. You had to be neatly dressed. And if you had even just one uniform, you had to have it washed overnight and pressed, you know, with the pleats all sharp.
But
neatness as well as, you know, scholastic, they emphasize both scholarly learning as well as neatness and deportment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you moved from St. George's Girls to?
St. Andrew High.
I got you. So
yes,
that was like a prep school for St. Andrew.
St. Andrew. No, matter. I was, by that time, I was quite big. I was 11. So it was time for getting into big school now.
I got you. All right.
Okay. Yes, you got into high school. And then, of course, in those days, very few ordinary people. They were mostly rich people and more lighter-skinned people who were accepted. Just around that time, I think Norman Washington Manley helped to fund the school. And as a condition of that, we were allowed as people from the country and darker skinned people to start coming into the high schools that were then exclusive.
I see. Okay. Now, did you have to, like, take a test to get into the school?
Oh, yes. You had to pass a test, and you had to be recommended by somebody prominent in the village and all that good stuff.
All right.
So my father, you know, my father had good connections because he traveled all over the parish and made sure he had good friends in high places. And I had no problem getting in from that perspective, but I also was a little, what they would call, a little on the bright side. So I got in with the entrance.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And what good memories? How did were you there for how many years? And how did it, you know, go from when you start? Give us a little history. Because one of the reasons I'm trying to do this, because I'm wondering how much things have changed, if they have. And I'm always asking people on the board if they know, if they have kids that are relatives or their own children that might be going to some of these schools that we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
And if things are more or less, you know, similar or different, because I just find it quite interesting.
Right, yes. From the beginning of the time when I went in, there were a lot more, like I said, more people who were wealthy as opposed to and more city people as opposed to those of us from the country. And by the time I got in, at the time when I got in, more and more people were coming in from the country and were being subsidized by the government, so they were able to go in and, you know, mix shoulder to shoulder with the people who were more well-off and more privileged in our society. As time went on, that the integration became better and better. And, yes, everybody was open. As long as you were able to pass the entrance exam, you were able to get into those schools. So, and they expanded quite a bit with the help of the government's money coming in.
I see.
And then we had great teachers. Most of them were British in the beginning, English teachers. Miss Gartrow was my headmistress to begin with at that school. And then Miss Mary Dawkins was the other headmistress who came in after her, and I left with Miss Dawkins. So I continued through from I was 11 till I was about 16, and did senior Cambridge. And it really was a great time because, you know, what I remember most of all is that my cousin also, Lorna Hurst, is my cousin. We were best friends at school there, and we both went to St. George's, and we both then went on to St. Andrew, and we became, of course, we stayed best friends, and we would walk to school all the way from Fernandez Road up to St. Andrew High School in Cecilia Avenue after school, actually, the opposite way. We would take the bus or whatever to get to school in time in the early morning, at about 7:30 or so, and then we'd walk all the way, and on the way we'd stop and we'd have jelly donuts. There was a jelly donut shop on Halfway Tree Road, and we'd stop and have those. So we saved our bus fare, and we did this also in elementary school. We would walk to save the bus fare for whatever reason we wanted to spend the money. Like when I was going to St. George's, I would save the bus fare so I could buy my mother Mother's Day's gift. And then I would save
by this time, now you're boarding with friends. With
yes,
your mother's family.
Yes.
Huh?
And then in high school, then I would be saving that money to buy jelly donuts. Walking home from
those
school.
Those days, people didn't have to worry about calories, huh?
No, because we were walking it off. You can imagine all that distance from Fernandez Road all the way up to St. Andrew High School, Cecilia Avenue.
You know approximately how long it would take you to walk?
It would take us, like, because we'd stop and eat the donuts, it would take us, like, maybe an hour and a half.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think kids in Jamaica would be walking that long now.
I don't think so. But beyond that, we didn't live in the same household, you know. We lived in different places. She lived somewhere else. I forget exactly where she was living at the time. I think wherever Excelsior is now, that's where she used to live. But she would walk down
near
to Fernandez.
Town, I think, or Rollington Town, one of those.
No, Excelsior's on Mountainview Avenue.
Yeah, that is not one of those towns?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mountainview
Avenue.
I
know.
Yes. So anyway, She would walk with me to Fernandez Road. I would change into ordinary clothes, and then I would walk with her up to Mountain View Avenue. And then she would follow me back to my house, and we'd do this for almost half the evening.
Yes, I know. I've heard of that.
So we were actually very good friends, and then I had another friend who was also our friend. Her name was Margaret Marshall. She later went on to do hockey and represented Jamaica in hockey.
You're not talking about me, are you?
No, not Margaret Marshall, Margaret
Mackin. Oh, that's what I thought you said. That's funny.
Yes, but you're
It was Margaret
Mackin
something
friend.
Else.
Margaret Mattox.
Okay. It's bad enough now people, I live in the South, so people always call me Margaret Mitchell. And my answer to that is, honey, she's been dead so long, she even changed color. But they do that all the time, so.
Yeah. Sorry about
anyway,
that.
Anyway, go on.
Yes, so that is kind of like how it was, what I remember. And most of all, it was a time when you could walk to anywhere and from anywhere, no matter what time of day, and nobody would molest you.
Right. Now, do you remember what kind of social activities some of the people who spoke about their high schools, especially the boys, the men, would mm-hmm. say they had houses, you know, they belonged to certain houses?
Oh, yes, we
houses.
Did. Mm-hmm. We had houses, and I can't remember all of them, but I know that Cavell was one. Joan of Arc was my school, and purple was my color.
Uh-huh.
And I think Cavell was red, and then there was some other thing. But all of them represented some notable person who did something really well. There was a Joan of Arc, as you know who Joan of Arc is, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And so purple was always my color throughout. And then, I was pretty good in sports as well, so I'd represent my house and win points for them. And yeah, we did a lot of physical education in those days and kept ourselves. As a matter of fact, I also was on the netball team, the second team.
Mm.
At school. Mm-hmm.
And then when you played, you played against only girls? The sports were
yes.
just in
yes.
okay, with other girls' schools.
Yes, other girls' schools. You know, the other prominent schools were Woolmer's and Immaculate and Holy Cross and those, you know, more prominent ones in those days.
Now, may I ask you, was there a high school that would be similar to that anywhere in the country near where you lived?
Well, there was later on high school called St. Mary High. Of course, when you say similar, it's a high school, but remember these original ones were the creme de la creme.
Oh yes, I know. But, you know, as I go along asking people about their high school days, mm-hmm. I've heard of several other schools, even in Kingston, that I was not quite familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know that we, almost everyone, know about the ones in Kingston and some of those in other parts of the island in our day, back in the day when we were growing up. But
right.
there are
Until
some
the,
that
the,
I hear of now that I never knew existed when I was there.
That's
you know,
true,
when,
yes.
when I was living in Jamaica. I don't remember hearing a lot about like Buxton and a couple of other names that I've heard.
Right, it's
but
true.
As I mentioned earlier, in the days when I grew up, more or less you went to school, but you sort of socialized with just the people in walking distance of you, you know, in your neighborhood.
That's true. Or somebody
was
with whom you're
familiar. Was it similar in your experience?
Yes, it was very similar to that. But, you know, we did make good friends at school in our different forms, because then you had form. They were called forms at that time, first form, second form, third form, all the way up. Now, I left at senior Cambridge level, but then you could have gone on to higher schools. I just didn't do that. I went to work
right.
for the Gleaner Company right after school.
Now, what would you say it was the most impressive thing that you did all during your high school, not necessarily one thing, that helped you to sort of form your character or go on to do whatever you're passionate at doing now?
Well, that's a good, I'd like to digress a bit by saying I started off in Jamaica at the Gleaner Company in a business format. And I found that I was strong in the business area. As a matter of fact, my teachers recommended that I do business rather than go on to higher schools. And but I digressed from that, and I went into the medical field as a laboratory technician because they paid me, the government paid me to learn. And so for a good long time, 11 years of my life, I continued in that field. But I still went back after migrating to New York, went back to school to do business, and here I am again in business.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that funny?
You knew a little more than you did at the time.
Yes, but you know, in Jamaica in those days, you would get a job because it was prestigious or because of whatever pay you were getting. You would try to get the best pay possible. It doesn't matter whether or not you think that was the best suited thing for your ambition, you know?
Right, right. And I'm sure that having a father that was already working with the government or in some recognizable way helped you a bit.
Right. As a matter of fact, my parents were a little disappointed I didn't go on to do medicine or law because according to them, you know you have the brains for it, but you just want to go out and do your own thing. Of course, it's always nice to leave school and get to party and all those things. But then later on, I could have said to myself, oh, my goodness, I could have done medicine and it would have been like a drop in the bucket in terms of years, and yet I didn't, you know?
Right, right. Well, I know that I have always said it, that I've lived in the United States, of course, much longer than I ever lived in Jamaica. As a matter of fact, I've lived in the state I'm living now longer than I lived in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. However, I really feel so blessed that I was born and raised there. Really,
yes.
Really feel very, very blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have wonderful memories of my, you know, teenage years and growing up in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really,
it was
really
an exciting
wonderful
time. It was an exciting time in Jamaica at that time. And especially when you started to work right after school and you started to have friends and you would go out to the sports club, Lucas or one of those, and you'd play tennis.
Silver Slipper, all of those places.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Bournemouth Gardens.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Those were the wonderful days.
Wonderful days, yes. And we thought they'd never end, Margaret. For some reason, we thought they'd never end.
Yes, and here we are in the twilight zone now, or in the twilight of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I always share with my listeners that when I was growing up, I really wasn't a big history buff, you know. It sort of wasn't, the history was boring anyhow, but I was really not that interested even in stories that my mother wanted to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But as I have matured, and I call myself now a senior, I find that I'm more intrigued and quite inquisitive and really interested in the period that I grew up in, knowing that we didn't have as much documentation then as we can have now. And what really spurred me to do what I'm doing is the fact that if you even have information written down, you can lose it, you know, as they say, in a nanosecond by some natural disaster or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really embrace the fact that we have this platform that we can really leave a living legacy, and it will be here. I don't think Mr. Google is going anywhere. I do it said comically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Google is not necessarily a person, but I mean the concept of the Internet and things living in the cloud, you know, it might be old news. But once it is published, it is there forever. If you seek hard enough, you will find it.
That's beautiful.
And I really appreciate all my guests that have come on to share their experiences or, you know, something about the past and about the period that I'm trying to cover. And when I don't have a special guest or I'm not doing a series, then I try to put a voice to some of what our historians are doing now, because we have some fabulous historians that are doing research in a period that was not documented. And I'd just like to take a moment to Thank you again. Don't go away, but I want to announce that you are on Blog Talk Radio. This is Backyard Labrish. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And what I have done, the show has been aired since 07, I think I started, or 08, I can't remember. However, you know, I've covered a lot of material that has been put out by Dr. Rebecca Tortello, which is Pieces of the Past, and you can access it. Anyone can access that on the Gina Company's website. However, I know, you know, we all get so busy and people don't have time to read, and I just love to share the material and people can listen to it at their convenience. And I try to talk about things that are documented and not some story that someone made up and just starts circulating on the internet. Because, you know, the internet lends itself to that type of thing. You can put a twist to anything that you want, and it may seem that it's authentic and it's history and it's documented when it's just not. It's not. So from a historic point of view, I really celebrate the people who are making a difference in putting out material that is verified. And Dr. Tortella, Dr. Joy Lumsden, who I had the pleasure of meeting when I visited Jamaica. And there's a book that I always quote from, which is the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage that's put out by Olive Senior.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give a shout-out to all those people this evening. And Miss Monica, would you like to share with us any other of your experiences as you came through to your senior Cambridge years or your working years in Jamaica? I always try I hope that eventually the younger generation may have an interest in what we, the seniors, are saying and our experiences of when we were growing up in Jamaica. I'm sure that, like any other part of the world, the experiences of the younger generation now is totally different from it was 50 years ago.
Yes.
But just that, like I was not interested at the time I was a teenager, you know, they might come to the point where they are. And if we don't leave the history, then somebody will be writing it for us.
Right. Well, one of the things that I really enjoyed is my time at the laboratory, government bacteriological and pathological laboratory, because there I made some steadfast friends, really good friends. And in particular, I have a friend named Trevor Campbell. We walked into the lab on the same day. He today is an owner of many labs in Jamaica.
Really?
He's still there. And he has never really left for any period of time. So he has made good, and I would consider him pretty wealthy in comparison to myself, who traveled to America and really did not pursue that line of work nor pursued a business in that line of work. So I contrast myself, saying I have riches of travel and experiences, and I am now working on riches to be able to pass on to others experiences that I'm now creating. And I'm excited to say that I'm now working on a trip to Africa, to Kenya, which I hope to complete next year, November, December.
What part of Africa?
Kenya.
Oh, wonderful.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I hope to... it was so exciting for me to know that the company that I'm representing is giving a trip for work that you do and achieve. And for some reason, just the idea of going to Kenya excited me so much that I'm now achieving ranks that I would never have achieved had I not heard that. So Africa has a very special place in my heart, and I think it is just wonderful that I'm going to be able to see my motherland, what I consider part of my motherland. Yeah.
Yes, well, on that point, I want to say how, as you mentioned, you know, when you have a goal, when anyone has a goal and you're really passionate about accomplishing it, you know, things work out. You mentioned that perhaps you had a love or a desire to go to your motherland, and somehow, you know, it's working out that you will do that. So
right.
I want to encourage people, young and old, to, you know, it all starts with a goal or an idea or a passion
or
that
a desire.
You really put some fire to, and, you know, miracles can happen. I want to just take a moment. If would you like to say anything else about your school days?
No. I just wanted to say that those formative years, although I stopped at Casino Cambridge in Jamaica, those formative years earned me a lot of dollars in America. And actually, my profession as a medical technologist is what sponsored me with a green card to America. So the education was solid, and yet it was not like university, but it was beyond that in my opinion.
Interesting. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about St. Andrew itself. Are you familiar with its history? I mean, did they teach that as part of anything at the school?
No, they did not. That's the funny thing. They did not concentrate on the history of the school itself. And so I can only tell you that Miss Garshaw might have been the first headmistress, and I had the privilege of being under her tutelage as the headmistress. She actually was one of those fiery Scottish ladies who could write with left or right hand. And she was as short as ever, but you would fear, if you had to be sent to the headmistress, you'd fear her as short as she was.
And how was her name spelled?
Garshaw.
Garshaw, you say it was?
G-A-R-T-S-H-O-R-E, Garshaw.
Oh, yes. Well, I have a little history on the store, on the school I wanted to share.
Mm-hmm.
And it said here, in the years prior to 1925, the Presbyterian Church of Jamaica and the Wesleyan Methodist Church, both keenly interested in education, were independently trying to start a secondary school for girls.
Mm.
Leaders of both churches came together and agreed that it would be better to pool resources and establish one school on a cooperative basis. A basis of union was drawn up, and they agreed that the school should be for boarders and day girls, and that the site should be near Kingston.
Mm.
And back to the what I've mentioned about people having ideas and pooling their resources. Because, you know, when we look at things that people have accomplished in the past, and I always say, you know, things I'm sure was perhaps a lot more difficult than they are now. I mean, transportation, access to information, all of that. And yet, people with a desire and a passion, most of the stories that I read about are the things that have, you know, survived for centuries, have a small beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my point of almost all of the stories that I try to do.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go on to tell you a little bit more now. One of the Armand Jones felt that the founders were especially guided by God in every step they took. In early 1925, despite limited financial resources, they secured from Cecil Lindo 8 acres of land surrounding the subdivision and spacious lodge house, Cecilia Lodge House.
Cecilia Lodge, I remember it well. Mm-hmm.
Tennis court and a large hockey field.
Mm-hmm.
Next, they had fun turning the rooms into dorms, classrooms, and staff rooms, and the large garage was converted into 3 classrooms. Isn't that interesting?
That's wonderful. I'm so glad you did that research for me.
Now, in June 8th of that same year, 1925, the first board meeting was held at the lodge. And the school was opened in September 21st, 1925, as the Jamaica High School for Girls. That was the first name.
Hmm.
There were 21 scholars, 10 day girls, as they call them, and 11 boarders.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
That's wonderful.
Now, and they made up a prospectus and all of that. But I thought that was very interesting. And as you mentioned, you know, just as in many schools, a lot of them did not teach the history of how it got started.
No, they didn't teach
the history about Jamaica, period. We were learning about Britain and all the various wars and all of that, but not a lot about Jamaica itself, you know, and how things sort of came into being. But it also went on to say that they were keeping in mind the development, as you said, physical, mental, spiritual, and social, so as to equip girls with a healthy body, a well-trained mind, religious habits and ideals to gain her own living and to serve her community worthily. The school's first uniform was a white blouse and a navy and gold striped tie, midi navy skirt, and a straw hat.
Yeah.
So the first uniform, first of all, the school was renamed, you know. The first uniform was a white blouse and navy and gold stripe, a navy skirt, and a navy and gold tie.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that your tie was red?
No, well, I didn't even have a tie for St. Andrew.
Ah, you didn't have a tie. Well, we're talking 1925 then, way before your time.
Mm-hmm. And then
go on.
I wore a Dubonnet uniform.
Yes, but we're coming to that. It says here, though, that the first headmistress was Miss Jenny Gartshore, G-A-R-T-S-H-O-R-E.
Gartshore, that's her.
But listen, something is amiss here. They say, who suggested the school's motto? Life more abundant.
That's true.
That was the motto, and it was taken from the verse that says, I came that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. That's why it was conned from. Now,
yep.
It says here, Miss Gartshore only served one term, as in early 1926, she married and migrated. Her sister, Miss Margaret Gartshore, took over as headmistress. So that's the one that you knew.
Yes, yes,
her
yes.
Her sister before her served the first year.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That's really interesting, because if you had told me that at 1920-something, St. Andrew existed, I wouldn't have believed it.
Isn't that something? Anyway, she got married and took off, the first one.
The first one, yeah.
Yes. In 1929, the school qualified to become a government grant-aided secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
So it went way back to 1929. By mm-hmm. this time, there were 152 scholars, of whom 51 were boarders.
Yeah.
The Jamaica Schools Commission asked that the name be changed to St. Andrew High School for Girls.
Mm-hmm.
The uniform was changed in 1938 to a Dubonnet tunic with white blouse and a Dubonnet beret.
That's correct.
Isn't that something?
That's wonderful.
So there's a little history that you perhaps didn't know about.
Well, thank you, Margaret. You are the best. You're a really good.
Oh, no. Well, I have a little more for you. And I'd like to open up the mic to anybody on the board that would like to weigh in on the Labrish. If you'd like to ask Monica a question, or if you're from the part of Jamaica that, if you're from St. Mary or know of anything we're talking about and would like to interact, please feel free to hit 1 on your telephone. And it will indicate to me that you want to join the Labrish. And remember now, this is a Labrish, so we need participation. So feel free. If not, I'm going to read to you. So, and Monica, please weigh in here whenever you would like.
Okay.
But I wanted to share some more because I always find, you know, I dig a little further and find out things that I can share.
That's wonderful.
It's interesting because this uniform got changed a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And in October 1929, the school qualified. Oh, I told you about that already. And they had a reunion dinner in April 1940, and it was designed by, Now, the mound for the school crest was actually presented to the school at an old girls association's first reunion dinner in April of 1940.
Wow.
Designed by an old girl who is Miss Joan Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to the left of the crest is the white cross on the blue background, the flag of our patron saint, Saint Andrew, on the right, and the flag of Saint George, England, with five pineapples, which I suppose is the Irish thing.
Yes, yes.
And this was taken from the first coat of arms given to Jamaica in 1661. So it's interesting to know that the coat of arms have, you know, something that represented England, Jamaica, and a saint.
Yep, yep, yep.
Quite interesting. By 1940, there were 217 scholars, with 68 of which were boarders, and 202 were day schoolers. So notice that the statistics are changing because when they started, most of the girls were boarding. So you were not boarding actually at the school.
No.
They have boarding at the school while you were there?
Yes, yes. It continued to have boarding throughout the time I was there, yes.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, now, Miss Gladstone was the headmistress from 1957. Gosford.
Mm-hmm.
She was there for 31 years as headmistress.
Yes, she was.
That's something.
And then 31 Mary.
31 years.
Mm-hmm. And then who came after? Mary?
Mary Dawson came after.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's 1958 that the school entered into a new phase of its history with the introduction of the common common entrance exam, resulting in an increase in the government grant.
That's right.
So that happened in
my time.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. St. Andrew High for older girls. Then they had two schools at that time now. They had St. Andrew High for older girls, grade 7 to 13, and St. Andrew Prep.
That's right.
For girls, I suppose, younger.
Younger girls, yes.
Yes, 4 to 11. I didn't even know that. I had no idea that some of these schools had a prep school. Children, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1960, they had a uniform change.
Yes, they did. That's when I left. I wore my demonitor threads. I wouldn't change it.
Oh, yeah. But they had, as a matter of fact, they've had two uniform changes. You know, the demonitor became scarce to get after a time.
Yes.
That material or the colors became changed. They couldn't get it, so they changed to another color.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was quite interesting. And again, I want to ask anyone on the board that would like to interact with us to please raise your hand by hitting 1 on your telephone. And I'd like to remind the listeners that if there's any show that you are intrigued with, you can always copy the URL when you're listening to the show and post it into an email and send it to any of your friends that you think might want to hear that particular show. And Monica, I will send you a link that you can, you know, circulate if you wish.
to
your friends
that.
Or family for your being on the show. But there's an archive. In the archives are just some marvelous material that has shared over the years about the history, because mainly what I cover on Backyard Labrish is things that, you know, weren't documented or are not very familiar to a lot of people, because I know even children going to the school now might not know a little bit about as much about the history as really is available, because like everything else, people are busy and they don't have time to do the research. So, you know, I find myself taking pleasure in doing that and giving a voice to the material that is documented online that I think is sort of relevant to whoever may be interested in it.
And you serve a very good purpose in doing that.
Yes, yes. And I really believe that, you know, as seniors, we really need to take an active part in helping the younger generation, when they're ready for it, to understand that it might look like they might be having difficult times now, but, you know, over the centuries, the majority of the population of any country usually are having difficult times. But it's sticking with your passion and drive and making sacrifices that cause things to happen. Because, you know, if you read about the story of how the Salvation Army was started in Jamaica, it is a fabulously interesting story. If you read about the story how several things got started, several things, you will know that it's because one person or two people got together with an idea. You know, they planned it, they made sacrifices to make it happen, they were persistent, and they accomplished. And not only did they accomplish, but they did something that was bigger than them, bigger than life, bigger, and will go on, because most of the, like a lot of the schools, were born out of somebody's having the idea to do it, whether they did it for their kind of people or whoever, you know, it was something that was put together because of an idea. So I want to encourage my seniors to you know, pursue whatever they think they can do. And even though we might not be able to move mountains, whatever we do in a small way, as long as we do it from the heart, as long as we do it from the heart, and it's done in with love because of your intention, it will grow and multiply. It definitely will. I believe that in my heart.
It's absolutely true.
So, Monica, I want to really thank you for being our guest and for sharing all of those neat stories with us.
It's my
and
pleasure.
I am sure that you are going to be excited to pursue your dream of getting to Africa.
Yes, I am.
And if and when it happens, I hope you'll come back and share your excitement with us.
I certainly will. And Margaret, it's my absolute pleasure to be online with you and to be in the presence of someone who is so considerate of others.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I tell people I'm just doing this. Well, I'm doing this for my grandchildren and all the other grandchildren of grandmothers who, you know, are not involved in the technology. They might be a little intimidated by it. So I'm doing it for them. And I ask all of my listeners and my fans and those who may come by later on to spread the word. You know, tell people about Backyard Labrish. Everything is archived on the website. If you go to the Backyard Labrish radio website, you will see all it's documented by months. You can just scroll down and pick something that you like. You can click on it and minimize it as you do your emails or do something else. You know, you don't really have to be here on a Wednesday. I love seeing the board full of callers because that you have taken the time to relax and go on your virtual trip with me where we hang out in our easy chairs under the mango tree or on top of the roof or wherever it was that you felt the trade winds blow softly across your face when you were in Jamaica, either on a visit or when you were going up. So I invite you all to come back to participate by interacting and to tell your friends that we're here. And we also have a website that you can go check out. You might find some things interesting right there. And it's www.backyardlabrish.com. And we're in the process of doing a redo where I'll be having a blog and inviting people to make a comment. But it would really sort of help me and the rest of the backyard folks if you would give us an idea of what you would like to hear us discuss. If there's something, as long as it's positive and we can research it and find out about it, and we'd love to share it with you, for you, or have you participate with us. So, Monica?
Thank you so much for having me on, Margaret.
You're most welcome, and thank you for being our guest. And I want to thank the callers on the board and online for being here this evening, taking time out from their afternoon to chill with us. So enjoy your drink. Remember, you're still where you were when you were relaxing in Jamaica, even if you were there for a visit. So if you were having a rum and coke, a coconut water, or whatever, sugar and water, whatever you were having at the time, just remember you're still having it now, and just relax and feel the breeze, and we will see you next week when you take some time off from your busy day to come chill in the backyard with Margaret. So with that said, thanks again to the callers on the board and those listening online, and I want to say, as I usually do, make it a great week. Bye-bye. Bye, Miss
Monica.
Yeah? Have a great week.
Thank you so much, Margaret. You too. Bye.
Bye.